a very simple statement. Virtue is seldomly accompanied by the feeling of that virtue. That I love, one of the things I enjoy flying Delta is how grateful they are for our patience. And that's only exceeded by their promise of being an on-time airline. But they are very grateful for our patience, and they say it in the lounge, and they say it on the plane, and when we're landing. But none of us feels patient. See, that's the funny part. They're thanking us for not storming the captain's or something crazy. Emotions are not about virtues. And so that the virtue of faith is usually accompanied by doubt more than a warm feeling of, yes, I believe in God, I feel it. Not all the time. So it takes doubt to have faith. Do you know that? It takes doubt. So that when we pray for an increase in faith, it necessarily means not an increase in understanding. That's called understanding. That's called knowing. The increase in faith is the increase in living with the surprises, with the setbacks, with the losses and the disappointments, living with them. But we don't feel faithful. And many, many people leave faith because they don't have a feeling of faith. I don't know, marriage, it seems. People are married, but they don't feel love every moment of the day. And maybe not for a long time. Love is not a feeling. Love is a fidelity. So that virtue is not the experience of the feeling of that virtue. I hope that's clear. Sometimes I feel patient. Okay. But usually I feel patient because it doesn't inconvenience me. But if it inconveniences me, I'm tapping my foot. And where's the United desk? So to pray with that, I'd like us to pray with Luke 8, verse 22. This is, and it's also in Mark 4:35, but this is, here you got these very faithful apostles. This is great. He got into a boat with the disciples and said to them, let us cross to the other side of the lake. Let us go over there, out into the water, which is a symbol of chaos, of course. So they set sail, and while they were sailing, he was sleeping. Okay. So they don't have the feeling that he's really with them, but when they know where the headquarters is. So a squall blew up, and the lake got rough, and they were taking in water and were in danger. They came and woke Jesus up, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. So they are fearful and a bit doubtful. He awakened and rebuked the wind and the waves, and they subsided, and there was a great calm. Now, how do you think they felt? Well, some of them probably said, boy, it's good we really didn't, really, we weren't really afraid. No, that water is from the ocean. Just got that right. That's good. It creeps up on you. But they were just being human. Now, some of them could have denied their human reactions. But then he asked them, where was your faith? And of course they say, oh, that went overboard with everything else. And no, they were filled with awe and amazed and said to one another, who then is this who commands even the winds and the sea, and they obey him? So nature obeys him. But they were very human. And he asked them, where was your faith? And they said, well, honestly, we were afraid and we doubted that we were going to make it, so we woke you up. We prayed to you. And we admit that we had doubts. But now you have shown us that we should obey you like the sea and the wind, and we will try. They were just being human. And Jesus was being Jesus and calming their fears. But I don't know. But how were they the next time they went sailing? That's what I want to know. Were they, oh, no problem? Or were they, that's the weather forecast. Doubt is necessary, men. Doubt is necessary to have faith. And all of us on retreat here, we know that we want to be more virtuous than we are. We are not as virtuous as we'd like to be. So that's an important thing as we go along. Faith is not a feeling, and faith is as fragile as our bodies are. We're fragile. Our hearts, our minds, our psychology are fragile. And a storm can come up and we'll say, I guess I'm not very faithful. I guess I'm not very hopeful. I'm not very loving. I'm not very forgiving. No, you can forgive and not feel forgiving. You understand? You can be forgiving and not feel it. Feelings are healthy. They're good to have. But it's not virtue. The other little parable that I'd like to pray about is in Luke 18, chapter 18. It's a great one, and it's a lot of what we've been praying with today. Verse 9. There's a tax collector and a Pharisee. And I'm not going to explain it much. I want you to pray with it. Because it's the reversal. Here they are in the temple, a religious place, and the Pharisee has a whole list of all the religious. He's got the tickets. It's interesting. He prays to himself. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. That's such a great line. He's praying to himself because he has been doing all these religious things for himself to get the tickets. And that's what religion can be, as we said before. Oh God, speaking to himself, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity. Now that's one way to get your identity. At least you're not like those guys. You know, at least I'm not from Iowa. Or we say in Omaha. You have Iowa jokes too, I think. Yeah. And they have some on us. Omaha is across the Missouri River from a little town called Council Bluffs. And we say that the difference between Council Bluffs and yogurt is that yogurt has an active culture. And the best thing ever to come out of Iowa was I-80. But I digress. So at least he says, and let me say, Iowa's a great place, and if Iowa weren't there, it'd be worse. We'd be next to Illinois, so. We can get our identity by who we're not and what we're not. I'm not like the rest of humanity. I'm certainly not like that SOB behind me. And that sweet old boy, he's a sinner and a tax collector and ripping off. And well, what I'm getting at is, this is the reversal. Remember about Jesus clearing out the temple in Mark and in John, John chapter 2. Jesus is reversing what religion is and what religious is and what spirituality is and what holiness is. See, here's, we're going to get to this sometime during the retreat, but what gives you your name, not just your family name, but what gives you your identity, your image of yourself, that's what you slowly will make into your God. That might be a bit dramatic, but it's pretty close. That what gives us a sense of our worth, of our dignity, is what we'll make into a God. It can be a person, it can be a position, it can be anything. What in front of what do you most bow? What do you worship? You will worship what gives you your value. And this man is getting his value from himself, what he does. He does this, does that. It's not what you do, it's why you do it. Why you do anything. In the exercises, we are created creatures to, in our limited way, praise, reverence, and serve God. And all of them are different, and yet they're all the same. Recognizing that God gives me my name, and God gives me you your name, and I relate with you according to the name that God gives you. Very difficult. Because I'd like to give you a name. He calls him a sweet old boy. That's his name. Back of the temple. You better not come up here. This is for the holy people like me, he said. I think this is one of those stories. My father always sat in the last pew in church. He said it was, in case there was a fire, after he got out, he'd help everybody else. But I think he had a fear of being considered very religious and all that. And he didn't want anybody to know. So this guy is up front, and he's tooting his own spiritual horn. He is worshiping himself. And then there is the other guy in the back. And he has a great prayer. So I want you to read that. But it's the two things that the spiritual life really, really is against the material life. Getting my identity from something. See about that in the next conference. But it's the thing you see in John's Gospel is Jesus dealing with people who have shame, and shame comes from not having dignity or honor, and God dignifies us. It's a very interesting word, worship. It comes from the Old English, worth-ship. You are worth something. You have a dignity. Worship. And then, of course, we say we worship God. But in another sense, Jesus came to worship us, give us our worth. Now this bozo in the front pew is getting his worth from what he does independently from God. It had nothing to do about God. It's all about him. He's worshiping himself, giving him his worth. And the guy in the back is worshipped by Jesus, saying he went home with a dignity, a righteousness, a worthiness, because I gave it to him. I gave him his name. And he has to change. Is he going to live by the name that other people give him, the unworthy name? He's a tax collector. What could be worse than that? He's a tax collector. For the Romans, for God's sake. Not for God's sake. And he knows his name. I am a sinner. And Jesus says, I am changing your name. What is that? That is recreation. It's the recreation that God gave everything its name. And then Jesus goes around and gives us and gives everyone their name back. You are a creation, a blessed creation, a holy creation of God. Now you don't feel that all the time. No, it's not a matter of feeling. It's a matter of reception and humility. Because that's the ultimate surprise. You see, believing in the redemption of Jesus is the number one surprise that calls for number one humility. The humility that it takes to be surprised in all other areas is secondary to having the humility to be surprised that this man, he would really be surprised. He expected to really get chewed out. And he was surprised that Jesus sent him home with a new name. And he had to have the humility to receive it. He had to receive the humility to be worshipped by Jesus. Jesus does not adore us. He worships us in that sense of giving us our dignity. He honors us. See that again and again, the incarnation, his taking upon us, our flesh, taking his flesh upon himself, our flesh. He says, this is a holy place. This is the only place I can meet you. St. Augustine said, you have to have a body in order to have a spirituality. You have to have a body. Angels don't have spiritualities. Our spirituality then is dealing with the tension between the spirit and the flesh. You can read that at the end of the fifth chapter of the letter to the Galatians, the war between with the fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the spirit, and they're warring with each other. It's a tug of war. And Jesus says, I am going to dignify you. Your dignity is that you are in that war, and sometimes you win and sometimes you lose, but I will always win. I will dignify you no matter what. No matter what choices and chances you've taken. Well, these are where is your faith? That's why I took that. Where is your faith? Well, it's fragile. So is the faith that allows me to believe that what I say about myself is secondary to what he says. And what I say about myself is the real conversion from which actions will change. My actions will change from inside out. This man is changed from the inside. What he does with it will be a reflection of how deeply he took it inside himself. The Pharisee in front is all on the outside, getting his name from outside. We get our name from inside. And we are inside out people. That's our beauty. We will reveal, eventually, we will reveal who we think we are by what we do outside, but it comes from inside. That makes sense. What my name is, that's what I will do. I've told the story probably many times, but my Irish relatives lived in very near Lake Michigan in the very poor part of Milwaukee, but when the immigrants came, they had a house that we would visit. And when we would visit, especially in St. Patrick's Day, we would learn the songs and the stories that my great uncles and aunts would tell me, and that the Gillicks were royalty in County Cavan. And they dominated, and they were powerful warriors, and all this, oh boy, that was great. And we were Gillicks, and they were Gillicks, and well, our shirts weren't big enough for the inflated chest that we all walked around with. The only problem was that we went back to the South Side, where the Polish kids did not give a damn about our Irish royalty. They reduced us to our dignity. But who you are, who God says you are, will be revealed in how you live it. And you won't even know you're living it. It just is there. It just comes out. You don't say, well, I think I'll be good today. No, the goodness comes out. The goodly godliness in us comes out. The sacredness. Well, that's what this, I mean, you could imagine this tax collector going home, and he's got a new name for himself. Well, that's what recreation is. That's bringing order out of chaos, harmony out of discord, and honor out of shame. And that's what all the Gospels are that way. And all the encounters that Jesus has, let me give you back yourself. Let go of that. Stop doing that. That's not who you are. You are more than any of your actions could accumulate. It's an inside thing. And the more you let it in, the more it will come out, and you won't even know it. You will live the life of the interior on the outside. Well, I'd like you to pray with that. Maybe do some writing, some thinking about those two stories. They're good ones.